been reading a whole chunk of Deuteronomy, but something really stuck out early this week that was Deuteronomy chapter 9. Now, Deuteronomy is like this book where Moses does this big review before they go in to take possession of the land that God has established for them. And I just want to read a portion of it. Moses says to him, "Hear, O Israel, you're now about to cross the Jordan and go in to dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls to the sky. The people are strong, they're tall. Anakites, you know about them, you've heard it said. Who can stand up against them? But look at this, but be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you. He's like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and then you'll drive them out. After the Lord has driven them out before you, don't say to yourself," listen to this in verse 4, "don't say to yourself, 'The Lord has brought us here to take possession of this land because of my great righteousness.'" Don't say to yourself, "Man, we're God's favored ones. Man, we're the ones that he's chosen. We are mightier in God's eyes than them." It's not because of your righteousness, but it's on account of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord's going to drive out before you. Verse 5, "It's not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you're going to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of the nations, the Lord your God's going to drive them out to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob." Verse 6, "Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you the good land to possess, for you're a stiff-necked people." And God just, I love it, he doesn't really mess around with words, does he? He goes, "This is not about you. This is about me." And then there's a whole account there, and you get to verse 23, and I just want to read a couple of verses here. This account is when they were told to go and take possession of the land from Kadesh Barnea. It's in verse 23 here. "When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, he said, 'Go up and take possession of the land I've given you.' But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God." Look at the end of verse 23. "You did not trust him and you did not obey him. You've been rebellious against the Lord ever since I've known you." This is what Moses says to him. "I lay prostrate before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord said he was going to destroy you. And I prayed to the Lord and said, 'Sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of this people and their wickedness and their sin. Otherwise," 28, "otherwise the country from which you brought us will say, 'Because the Lord's not able to take them into the land he promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them up to put them to death in the desert.'" 29, "But they are your people. They are your inheritance that you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm." The amazing part of those verses is Moses makes this impassioned plea on behalf of these people, but not just for the sake of the people. I love that Moses' plea to God is about his name. That's what we've been looking at today. God wants people to be sent into this earth, but it's not because, you know, our missions partners are more righteous. Sorry, Mel. It's not they're the more righteous ones. It's just that God says, "For the sake of my name in this earth, go forth." And this is such an amazing, you know, an amazing passage that Moses gets this and he goes, "God, this is about your reputation. You know, yes, we are stiff-necked. Yes, we are wicked. Yes, the nations you're sending us into are wicked, but we're wicked too. But God, for the sake of your name, don't just wipe them. Don't just, you know, they deserve it. Yes, but be merciful on them. because Moses goes, I could not stand to hear the nations around start to mumble about your name, start to complain about who you are, that you were not able to do that which you said, that you're not able to keep your word. And Moses is the one that goes, God, I know you. I know your character. I know the worth of your name. Let your name be exalted. Be merciful. And you start to see in this passage that the call was this, to go and take possession of the land, to be, if you go back to what we read in Exodus a month or so ago, that the Israelites, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would be God's statement in the earth, literally an enduring statement to his name, that he would dwell in their midst, that they would walk in covenant that was given to them. In fact, if you want to hear really a simple but solid message on God's covenant with his people, have a listen on the podcast to this morning's message. Listen, don't be confused about, you know, the whole Israel church thing. I don't want people to be confused. God is not more about Israel than he is Arabs. God is not more about Israel than he is, you know, Western nations. God is about people of this earth. But he decided to make his statement through Israel. I wrapped up this morning saying, and I'm not going into the whole message because there just simply is not time. I'm not saying it was a good message because I spoke it. There was a guest speaker. So just be at rest with that one. But the wrap-up was pretty good, and I did that. All right, no, the wrap-up was pretty simply this. You know, we get really messed up. We get people that go, oh, it's all about Israel. It's all about God's covenant with Israel. It's all about this. So we must need to become Jews. And Donna and I know people from our story that their whole life is about becoming Jewish. And it's like, no, that's not what we're called to. We were redeemed as, we were saved as, you know, whatever nationality we are. You don't have to become Jewish. You don't have to do it all. It's beautiful to recognize that. But nor is it what the church has done in the other extreme over all the years where we go, you know, God's done with Israel. Forget them. It's all about the church. And all those promises are for the church. And both of those positions are disregard, really, for the word of God. The nation of Israel will endure because of the faithfulness of God. And I'm not going to go into that, but if you wrestle with that, you struggle with it, you want to talk about it, I'm happy to talk about it, but have a listen to the podcast from this morning. Because the whole thing, from the establishment of humanity in this earth, from the establishment of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a people, it was about his name, the reestablishment of Israel, 1948, his name. His faithfulness, the establishment of the church to minister in this earth, his name. It is not just about the name Christian. Get that in your head too. God is not just about the word Christian. It's not just about the Christian church. It's about people. And there's so many labels and whatnot that mean nothing unless the name of God is declared and honored. Why? Why is the name of God so vital to be honored? So that people would know it and revere it and respond to it. Simple as that. There's a number of places I want to read. If you want to read along, you can. Otherwise, write them down, read them later. Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another, and they'll tell of your mighty acts. They'll speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They'll tell of the power of your awesome deeds, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They'll celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. For the Lord is gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on everything he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom, speak of your might, so that all men might know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. For your kingdom is what? It's an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. And the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all that he has made. Why does God want us as believers in Jesus in this earth as a statement to who he is? It's not just to build a church. It's not just to build, you know, Christian mission and Christian ministry. God is not interested in name. I don't think he'd care if we called ourselves, you know, the purple people. Big deal. The significance of Christian is that it is little Christ or imitator of Christ. That is the significance. But if the imitation of Christ isn't happening, the word means nothing. God wants us to be the statement of himself in this earth. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory amongst the nations. Why do we send people? Why do we still, you know, people stand up and go, man, I want to go and do something good. Then we'll find every way we can to get behind you, to raise you up, to support you. Why? Because we want to see God's glory declared amongst the nations. His marvelous deeds amongst all peoples. I loved when Merv was going, we had a Wednesday night thing, and we just looked at, you know, in this conversation with him, I asked him this question, what is it? And he began to get stirred, and he said, it is an insult to the name of God for me to think that there are people in the islands of Indonesia that have never heard his name. It's an insult to me. That's what fires me. I'm just like, man, that encapsulated it all. It's about his name in the nations. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He's to be feared above all gods. Gods and the nations are idols, but the Lord God himself, he made the heavens. Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known amongst the nations what he has done. Sing to him, tell of his wonderful acts, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek him rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face. Always remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, his judgment he pronounced. Descendants of Abraham, his servant, or sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are where? In all the earth. All the earth. God is this, you know, honestly, what one of the things we talked about this morning in this idea of sent, God is that eternal sender, that eternal declarer of who he is. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day after day, they pour forth their speech. Night after night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice isn't heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. All that is saying is that in all the earth, God has declared and he just sends people to go basically and connect those people that have seen his handiwork that they might know his name. We sung about the name of God earlier. God, Yahweh, is a Hebrew word that is Jehovah. It's that name of God that is the existence of God, the breath of God, the substance of God, the person of God. And his heart is that people would know him. You know, there's so much in the scriptures about God's desire for people to know him. Deuteronomy 29, 5 and 6. God says to his people, you know, for 40 years when I walked you in the desert, your clothes didn't wear out, your sandals didn't fall off your feet, you ate no bread, drank no wine, other fermented drink. Why? Just so they'd be comfortable? Just so that they would, you know, not have to have new clothes or new sandals? No, he says, I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. This isn't for your comfort, this is for my name. Jeremiah 24, 6 and 7, my eyes will watch over them for their good, and I'll bring them back to this land. I'll build them up, I'll not tear them down. I will plant them, I'll not uproot them. He's talking about the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, I will be their God. for they will return to me with all of their heart. It's not about their comfort. It's not about their name. It's just not about them becoming a nation and being a prosperous people. It's about the name of God. New Testament, John 17. If you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. This is Jesus' words here. Now, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I've bought you glory, Jesus says. I've bought you glory on this earth, he's saying to his Father, by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in the presence with the glory that I had before this world began. I have revealed you to those that you gave me in this world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. Jesus says to his Father, Father, this is about your glory. You sent me. Father, you sent me into this earth to show you to people. Why? That they might give glory to you, and I give glory to you, my Father. This is Jesus talking. And Jesus called us to be like him. God says from the beginning of this world, we were purposed to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Why? That we might give glory to God the Father. We live in a world, I really believe, of erroneous teaching that somehow God has become about us. He's just about us. He just wants you to live your best life now. He just wants you to be the most prosperous you can be. He just wants you to be all that you've ever dreamed. He just wants to be your sideline coach going, come on, it's about you. It's not, it never was. It's about him. It's about his glory. It's about his declaration of himself in us and through us that the world may know. That's what this is about. It has been right from the beginning when God first spoke and created. Don't let that somehow be usurped that, you know, you feel so good about yourself, but somehow, you know, we let God be sort of sidelined. And he just becomes my offsider to achieve my success and my dream and my satisfaction and my comfort. John 10. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy when I said, I am God's Son? Listen to what Jesus says. God sent me into this world. And you accuse me of blasphemy because I say, I am God's Son? And Jesus says this, do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. Wow. That's a full-on statement if you think about that for a minute. Jesus says this. He's talking to the people that are accusing him. You want to accuse me of blasphemy? Listen, I was sent here by my Father. You get upset because I say I'm God's Son. He goes this, then call this into judgment. You can judge by what I do. You can judge by who I am. You can judge by what I say. Do not. He just gives them the option. Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. I was reading that and I thought, wow. What about if we made that the statement of the church of Jesus Christ? If we walked into this earth and we say to the earth around us, man, we're here to represent Jesus. We're here to represent the glory of God, the creator of everything. Hey, but don't believe it unless you see it in me. Jesus says, this is not worth believing unless you're seeing me live it. And that's heavy. Remember Romans, God's purpose is that we be conformed to the likeness of Christ. We are his statement in this earth. You know, the Israel, Jerusalem thing, I'm letting God worry about that. I don't get the fullness of it. I trust the fullness of it. I don't get all the outworking of it. And people will argue till the cows come home. I'm going to let God sort that one out. The church, hey, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that call. I'm not Jewish. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not wondering and not worrying. I trust God in that. But the church, I've got a big question because I am a part of that. What are we doing? What are we doing? It's something that's just burning because we're talking about sending. Sending only happens when we live in it. Otherwise, what are we bothering to send? It starts with surrender. It starts with living and saying, you know, God, have your way. And shape me. Because I want to be about your name in the earth. I want to be about your glory. I felt like when I was writing this statement that just was not this sense of, you know, be all that you can be. There was this, you know, big thing in the army in America because people realized that the old slogan of World War II wasn't working. And it's happened in the Australian Army, but the American Army, this, you know, I was there during this season. And the old army used to be this, you know, we want you. The British used it, your country needs you. The Australians used it, we need you. But all these years later, where we've been taught through our humanism that it's actually all about us. I just got dripped on. How weird is that? I don't know where that came from. Anyway, it's not, you know, the army, realizing that in our humanistic world where they're all taught, hey, it's about you. It's not about your civil duty. It's not about your nationalistic duty. It's about you. They changed the whole slogan to this. Be all that you can be. Join the army. You look at our ads for the army. It's this. It's about how the army can develop you. How you can become an incredible, you know, technician or electrician or computer gamer because you've learned how to, you know, it's like, let me just tell you something. The army, it's not about you. In fact, when I was working with young people overseas, I met so many young people that joined the army because there were thousands of dollars of bonus for signing up, joining the army. You know, young guys are going, heck, with that bonus, I can buy a truck. I get a new truck by joining the army. Yeah, but you get 4 years of your life given to your country, and many of them are now serving in places that, you know, everything is put on the line. But I had guys that are going, yeah, that's not what they promised. Now, I don't know anyone that went to the army and they sit in the barber's chair and the guy goes, how do you want it cut? You know, because we just want you to feel good about you. You know, little fringe here, you know, little short. You want it long? Wear it long. Doesn't matter. They sit you in the chair and shave your head. They don't ever ask you, what time do you want to get up? What time can we call you? You know, because really, it's about you. If you sleep in, maybe you're a late night person, don't like early, that's cool. It's about you. It's never going to happen. And so it's this false sales pitch that somehow it's all about you. And so I decide this. It's not be all that you can be. I wrote this statement down in my notes. Be what God has redeemed you to be. Be what God redeemed you to be, which is His statement in the earth, to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, wherever you may be, workplace, school place, foreign mission field, local service, wherever it is, be what you were redeemed to be and rise up in it. Rise up in it. We have opportunity to walk hand in hand, heart with heart, with the creator of this universe who gave his only son that we might know him and be conformed to his likeness and be a declaration of his glory in this earth wherever you might be. You know in the commandments it says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I reckon that applies more than we know to the way we live than it does the words that roll off our tongues. Because using the name of the Lord our God in vain is to say I'm a Christian and then bring disdain to the name of the Lord Jesus and bring disrepute to the name of God. You know what? Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to have the desire to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. There's a story, I don't know if it's true, but the imagery of it is amazing. It's recorded as true, of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great was a very involved leader of his people, conquered most of the early world, and military genius. And he used to, at night when the camp was quiet, he would go and walk the perimeters of the camp. And it's recorded that he came to a sentry who was sleeping, and he woke him and he roused him and he said to him, "Young man, what is your name?" And the young man apparently looks at him and says, "Alexander, sir." And all he says to him is, "Change your conduct or change your name." And that's... we don't wear the name of God as a child of God and do what we see fit to do. It's about the name of God. That's why Israel went under the judgment they went under. God says, "I want to dwell in your midst. And I want you to be in this land as a statement of my faithfulness in this earth." But when they utterly refused, God says, "I will now disperse you, and there will be a day of my choosing that my word will be fulfilled. And again, I will make my statement. But this is about me. It's not about you." And God's judgment came. And you read that, you know, God's judgment in the last days is going to come, but it's going to come upon his church as well. It's a refining thing, because it is about his presence. It's about his purpose. It's about his name. Always has been. Always will be. He's placed above all things, his name and his word. It's recorded in the Psalms. God who sends, he sent forth his word and he created. He sent forth his call to Abraham and promised to people. He sent forth his word to Moses and through Moses, and he sent forth his call to a nation. He sent forth his prophets, and ultimately he sent forth his own son. And after sending forth his son, he sent forth his spirit. And then he sent forth his church. And you and me, as co-heirs with Jesus Christ, he sends us forward. He sends us into this earth to be, not just to talk it, to be it. It's not just about saying that thing Jesus said himself. Listen, don't believe me unless you see it. Don't believe me unless you see me doing the works of my Father. He sent forth his church, us, the believers. He still does. Listen, don't be discouraged in this. If you need to be challenged in it. But it's not about your ability, my ability to be conformed to Jesus. It's allowing his work in us. You know what, honestly, I'm encouraged by a move I've seen with some young men around my life who have struggled with, you know, in our current age, with pornography and all sorts of things. And there's young men rising up going, "You know what, I'm done. I want freedom. I want Jesus proclaimed," and putting internet accountability things on their computers, on their handheld devices, on their phones, and watching young guys begin to stand up and say, "I am done with lesser things. I want to live for the glory of my Lord." That encourages me. It's not that we're infallible. We are fragile. It's not because of our own righteousness. As God says to Israel, don't think it's because of your righteousness. It's because of the generation you live in. And for us, don't think it's because we're righteous. I'm not righteous. I wasn't called to this because I was righteous. God just for some reason went, "Tim, I'll use you to declare my name. Do you want to be a part of it?" It's been a shaping, hard journey. Man, I've been ground down at times and pulverized at times, humbled at times. But it's about his name, and as long as I have breath, I want to be a declarer of his name. And guys, girls, don't just be one who succumbs to this world. Be one who is valiant, who though we are fragile and though we fail and though we fall, the scriptures say, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up. And God's grace is sufficient for whatever need we have. He wants to send us forth to be his declaration. Don't feel like this is a word that's to hinder you or rebuke you or tell you don't count. This is to encourage you, get up. Be sent. Hear the voice of the Spirit of God calling you, shaping you, drawing you out and saying, be my statement in this earth, in your generation, in your locale, in the nations. Be searched out. Be set apart. Be sanctified. Be sent for the name of the Lord. There's a song I want to close with. It's just the heart of it just says this: you won't relent until you have it all. And I just, you know, I'm just going to ask us as we're closing, you know what? You might be here tonight and, you know, you're just going, I don't even care about God. I don't even care about God. You know what? God cares about you. He sent his son. But as long as you have, and this will come across as crass, but I want to get crass. There are times the Bible gets pretty crass. You know, there are things that are like, oh, should we really say that? That's a bit rude. Sometimes God gets pretty heavy. He told Israel that their righteousness was about as good as a menstrual cloth. Not pretty images. But you know what? There's people here tonight, I just really sense on my heart, that in your own arrogance are standing here going, God, there. That's it. That's what I think of you. You know what? God is a gracious and patient God, but we do that long enough, I promise you, he will snap that off. He will snap that off. Because the word says that there will come a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And I feel like in our age, we're so arrogant, we're so consumed with ourselves. We feel like we have a right to be. After all, it's about me and it's about my freedoms. And it's, man, we miss the point. God created us for life. Life like we've never even understood or experienced. And in our short-sightedness and self-centeredness and arrogance, the Spirit of God calls us to humble ourselves and know his hand on us and his Spirit at work in us, shaping us and changing us. Because there comes a day that he will restore everything. And those who have chosen to submit themselves, surrender their lives, will live in the fullness of what God purposed forever. The beauty of it, the bounty of it, that we will forever celebrate who he is and his faithfulness. But those who stand there and go, you know what, forget you. He says, that's fine. But have that forever. Have it. Have complete separation from me. Complete self-indulgence. Complete relentless, ruthless anarchy. With the destruction of it forever. Nothing good, nothing gracious, nothing compassionate, nothing loving, nothing kind. But be separated forever. My heart grieves at the thought of arrogant ones
that would go, yeah, I would choose that over your goodness any given day. Oh, how foolish. The Spirit of God still cries out for people to just say, humble yourself and return to me. If you're struggling in your life, humble yourself and cry out to God, God, help me. I want to be your statement. God, I want you to declare yourself in me. And trust that God in his compassion and his mercy will meet you and will restore you and will strengthen you. But recognize it is not about our name. It's about him. And so, God, tonight we give you glory. As we started out, God, we exalt you. You are the name above every name. You alone have the power over life and death. God, you alone hold the keys of eternity in your hand. Lord Jesus, you alone hold the keys of death and hell. But God, you are the God who is eternally faithful and eternally righteous, eternally compassionate. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be called, would be encouraged, would be strengthened. But God, I pray where we need correction, you would correct us. God, forgive us as your modern day church, where I believe there are major portions of us that, man, we're self-pursuing. And I want to cry out to you for my brothers and my sisters in Christ that, Lord, for somewhere along the line have become just very self-indulgent. God, would you forgive us? And would you shape us?